Heavenly Father, today as we worship you underwater, may your spirit just speak to our hearts and challenge us and move us and mold us to what you would have us look like. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus says these words in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Somebody once said that the road to nowhere is paved with good intentions. You wanted to go there and you intended to go there, but it didn't happen. You could also say that anything good comes with intentionality. Like if you want something, you've got to be intentional about getting it. Like for instance, you wanted to have all your Christmas shopping done on December 25, yet you find yourself on Christmas Eve at CVS Pharmacy browsing through whatever they have there. Hopefully you can, or this one, you're online looking for gift cards. You're printing them out to put them in your kids' stockings. Anybody done that? I'm the only one that has done this? Come on, guys. You've done it before. Intentions. Okay, how about this one? You intended to save money this month. You said, "Honey, we're gonna save money. We're gonna double down on our mortgage payment. We're intending to do this," but at the end of the month, you realize that you've already spent all the money that you really wanted to put away. Or how about this one? You intended to get up and work out, but you couldn't find your special workout clothes in the morning, and so you ended up on the couch with a bag of chips. Have you done this before? Or if you're a meal planner, you may have intended to have a healthy meal for your family that had all the food groups and fruits and vegetables and yummy stuff for the whole family, but you saw a coupon for Little Caesar's Pizza Pizza. We've all done it. Every time that we want to do something, unless we're intentional about it, it doesn't happen. And I think it's the same with living a life in the fullness of what God has created it to be. Unless we are intentional about growing with him, it doesn't happen. If you've got your Bible with you, I invite you to open it to John chapter 10. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, that's okay. There's a blue book in front of you and you can follow along on page 759. And we'll spend some time looking at the context to this verse that Jesus gives us in John 10, verse 10. Here's some context for you. Jesus is about to talk about shepherds and sheep pens, thieves. He's talking about all sorts of things. And the context is like this. Back in the day, shepherds would regularly find a place out in the pasture and they would build a sheep pen, a sheepfold, a place to put sheep. It kind of looked like this, something like this. This looks like Scotland to me. Beautiful. All these little sheep pens. It's just rocks stacked up in a wall, a circumference, an area for sheep to be safe in, maybe waist high, chest high. It's to keep the sheep safe. It's to keep the enemy out too, but it's really just to keep the sheep in one place. So you had shepherds with all their different flocks, and in the evenings they would bring them and they'd stuff all the sheep in this sheepfold, and then most of the shepherds would go back somewhere where they could sleep and have a nice a bed to sleep in, while they would leave one as the gatekeeper. He's the shepherd of all the flocks that night. In the morning, the shepherds would come back to the sheepfold. Now all these flocks are mixed up at this time, and each shepherd would call their sheep over to them, and the sheep would come to them, so they know his name, and they would get together. So here's what Jesus says with that context in John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Now before we dive into this, there's lots of depth in this passage. You could go anywhere with this passage. You could talk second coming. You could talk salvation. You could talk righteousness by faith. You could talk a whole bunch of different stuff in this passage, but we're focusing on intentionality and also a picture of what God really looks like. So here's what it says. John 10, verse 1, it says this. Jesus says this. "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees," religious scholars, "anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Verse 7 says, therefore, Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. And then verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I love it when Jesus uses comparisons, comparing two different things, because you see the extremes, you see the opposites, and he compares two different people in this story. These guys right here, the shepherd and the thief, two good-looking blokes up here, but they're quite different. And as Jesus describes the thief, he describes him with words like sneaky. He doesn't come in the main gate. He goes around to the backside. He hops over the wall. He's sneaky. He describes him as deadly, and he's a killer. Oh, he doesn't want your best interest in mind. He'll do whatever it takes to hurt you. In fact, he describes him as someone who destroys. He even calls him someone that is unknown. This is the guy that comes up to the sheepfold and the gatekeeper's there, and he says, I don't know you. I need to see your ID. Can you please give me some identification? You don't belong here. What are you trying to do here? This guy's a sneaky character. But when he describes the shepherd, it's quite different. He describes him as honest. I love that one. You can trust him. When he says something, you can believe it. When he says something, it will happen. He describes him as known. When he's out and about, people know him. Hey, I know you. You're a good guy. Or how about this one? Loving. He calls his sheep by name and they know his voice. He's loving to them. He's kind to them. Many years ago, my family went to the North Georgia Fair at Jim R. Miller Park. It's right there. I think it's in Marietta, Georgia. And it's a pretty amazing fair. Now, I've been to some fairs before that are not so great. In fact, this last year, we had tickets to go to a fair here in Orlando. Not so great, let me tell you. But if you've gone to a fair, you know what fairs are like. There's all sorts of things. There's arts and crafts that you can look, and you can see the blue ribbons. Sometimes there's animals that you can judge. There's lots of things to eat. And let me tell you, if you want to die early, go eat at a fair. You know what I mean? Deep fried Oreos. They have deep fried Snicker bars. I've been to fairs where they have, you can buy a deep fried stick of butter. I'm not even kidding. That was up in Michigan. But there's always rides and there's fun things to do there. And as we went looking around, the rides are not safe, by the way. I've seen way too many YouTube videos of these rides at fairs. No, thank you. I'm good. But as we walk in, they have different events. Like you can see the alligators. Kachunga was its name. It's no big deal to Floridians, but in Atlanta, it's like, ooh, there's an alligator. Look at this. My favorite by far was the mini horses. Do you know what a mini horse is? Would you like to see one? Okay, bring him out. I'm kidding. I don't have a live one here. Look at this guy. Look at that guy. Aren't they cute? Wouldn't you like to have one of those? I think every child in here should ask their parents for a mini horse today. I mean, can you get any cuter than this? I don't even like horses, but if I had a mini horse, I mean, it's like a baby that just doesn't grow up. They're just so cute. And we walk into this fair, and over on the right was the mini horse event, and we sat in the little bleachers, and this the trainer, she comes out, and she says hello to the crowd, and then she makes a little noise, and the mini horses come trotting out in a circle, and they're just trotting around in the circle, and she stands there in the corner, and she would call them by their name, and when she said their name, they know the voice of the trainer, and so the little mini horse comes trotting out to where it's supposed to stand, and just waits there. The rest keep trotting in their circle. She'd call the next one by name and it would trot over to its spot. And so they all were lined up because they know the name of the trainer and the voice of the trainer sounds good to them and they obey. And Jesus describes this shepherd as someone that speaks and the sheep have listened to his voice. And when he speaks, they do what he says because they know his voice. Jesus keeps describing the shepherd. He describes him as a leader. when he moves forward, the sheep follow him. They want to be close to him. As he moves, they move. They want to have this relationship with him that is as tight as can be. He describes him as someone that is a life giver. When the thief comes to take life, he's a killer, the shepherd is the one that gives life. And then Jesus closes with that verse that we're focusing on today where he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I mean, the contrast is so different. You've got one that pulls everything away and you've got one that gives it. One that wants to sneak in the back door and one that wants to be so transparent with you and connected to you that you know his heart. But I believe that in order to have a deep and lasting relationship with Jesus, one that is to the fullest, you have to be intentional. Many years ago, many being 7 or 8, I got invited to be a part of the leadership coaching class, a cohort in the Georgia Cumberland Conference. I think Florida Conference does something very similar to that. And every couple months, I'd go to Cajada Springs Camp, which they have a campsite and they have a retreat center. And we'd spend time together as some pastors and some teachers and some other leaders in this cohort from Georgia Cumberland Conference. And we'd spend time together. And they brought in a man named Nick Howard. I know he's done work here in Florida too. He's a great guy. And he spent time talking to us about purpose and intentionality, but also about our own calling to ministry and what a life living to the fullest really looks like. And as I listened to him, I began to be challenged. And he basically said something like this, that God gave us one life, a life designed to be lived with purpose, intentionality, and depth that continually deepens as we know him better. It's not a stopping point where you graduate and you say, I know Jesus, I know salvation, and I'm done. It's an ongoing, continual, never-ending growing with him forever and ever until you're standing with him. And as I listened to Nick, as he shared these thoughts and ideas, I was challenged. And I don't like to be challenged. It's painful when you're challenged because it makes you do stuff that you aren't doing. It's easier just to sit and be stagnant where you're at. And as he challenged me, I began to ask questions for myself. And I'm going to ask these questions to you too, like this. Like, what would it take for you to grow deeper with Jesus? Or what would it take for you to live with more purpose and intentionality and depth? Or what would you need to do to change or give up in order to grow with him? What would it take for you to live your life to the fullest? See, I believe that God is such a relational God. He doesn't sit on his throne in heaven and watch you from afar. He became one of us to know us in that way. And I don't think he settles for status quo and just surface level. He wants to know your heart, and more importantly, he wants you to know his heart. And so he wants to spend that time with you to grow so that you can see who he really is. And this is where the gospel comes into play, because way back when the first two humans walked this planet and they made that decision to eat the fruit and to sin and to separate themselves from God, they end up getting banished from the garden. But more than the pain of toiling on the ground and having labor pains and all that came with being a sinful human, the worst part was the fact that they couldn't be with God anymore. No longer face to face with him. There's this void, this gap, this separation between humanity and divinity. But God in his master plan says, I've got something that can fix this. It's through Jesus. And so he became human to take our penalty for disobedience and for sin, and he dies so that we can be reconnected and so that we can have the fullest life that we could imagine. And I believe at this point in Earth's history where the physical planet shakes and trembles and natural disasters happen and culture clashes and race wars happen and political agendas are rampant. When the world seems to be falling apart, I believe that Jesus is coming soon and there's no better time than right now to continue growing with Jesus. Are you with me this morning? Jesus says in John 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I'm the life you've always wanted. And growing deeper with Jesus is living life to the full. And no matter what depth you have with him, there's always more. I mean, for some of you old timers, you've known Jesus your whole life. You've been to Sabbath school. Pastor Jeremy sings a song up here and you're like, yeah, I know that song. I have had it memorized since I was 6 months old. For those of you that are old timers like that, can you grow with him? And what does it look like? Maybe there's some here this morning that are followers of Jesus only by name. You've taken his name, Christ, and you've adopted it as a Christian, but that's where it stops for you, is just his name. How can you grow to have a rich and more fulfilled life? Some of you are baby Christians, and you're just starting this journey. How are you gonna grow? Who have you connected with? No matter where you're at with Jesus, there's always more, and you can grow. And for some of you, it's really about what you need to quit or remove in order to grow. Like some of us this morning, maybe it's just an attitude adjustment. You ever have if you have a great mom, she probably said, son, daughter, it's time for an attitude adjustment. You been there? Maybe that's how it is with Jesus too. Maybe instead of being comfortable where you are, you say, I want to grow. Maybe for some of you, the thing that has to be removed is habits. You know what they are. Maybe that's what's holding you back because you feel so unworthy. What about this one? I'm stepping on toes this morning. What if what is holding you back the most is just your busyness? I don't have time for it. Or here's one. These are fighting words here. Laziness. It's not worth it. I don't want to put the effort in. The reality is that unless you are intentionally growing with Jesus, you're probably drifting away from him. And if you want to live your best life and live it well, then you've got to put some intentionality and effort in so that it is fulfilled. Like in our church right now, every Sabbath morning, I see Sabbath school classes jammed to the gills. Kids and adults. I mean, all the time we get requests as a pastoral staff that say, hey, we want to start a Sabbath school. And we say, there's no space for it. And I love the fact that there's so many people in our church that are prioritizing that small group environment to grow with Jesus. That's people right here that say, I want to grow with him. Or on Wednesday nights, we have House of Prayer. A group meets right here in the sanctuary to have intentional prayer time to grow with him. Or on, there's a calling line. You can dial in and you can pray that way. Or every Sabbath morning, there's a small group that sings and prays before the worship service as they invite God's presence to be here for when the rest of the church arrives. It's beautiful. But even beyond the smaller group pieces of intentional growth that there are here, there's a bunch that are happening one-on-one. In fact, I'm going to give you three stories that'll hopefully inspire you and encourage you to engage intentionally with Jesus. Here's the first one. Just last 2 weeks, I started two new Bible studies. This is by far my favorite part of my job because it's one-on-one discipleship and I get invited into someone's life to help them grow with Jesus. I get to literally watch God move in their life. It's the most rewarding experience ever. And if you want to be a part of that, come find me and I'll invite you to be a part of some of these Bible studies. This first one is a seventh grader over at Fleece. He's an incredibly intelligent young man. And he came up to me about 2.5 weeks ago at the back door of the church as I was shaking hands. And he said, Pastor Matt, I want to be baptized and I want to study with you. And I said, come on, man, let's go. And so it took a couple weeks to get going. So a week and a half ago on Wednesday, he came and he stopped at my office and we sat down and we prayed and we opened the Bible and we talked and we asked questions. And I can tell that his mind is just wrestling with understanding God. And I literally could watch him growing with Jesus because he's intentionally growing. He's intentionally wanting more. He's not growing because his mom wants him to grow. He's doing it because he wants to know Jesus better. Are you with me? You see the intentionality? 2 days later, his mom sends me this text. She says, Pastor Matt, you've touched our boy's heart in a huge way. He actually said he would trade his week at summer camp to not miss a study with you. Are you kidding me right now? He's a seventh grade boy having the time of his life. He's still at Clockwell right now. He was willing to trade a week at summer camp. And I said, no, he can go to summer camp. We'll still be here when he gets back. She says, he said it was the best first Bible study ever and he can't wait to do it again. That's my boy. See, he understands that to live the fullest life that God can give you, you have to be intentional. And he's willing to do whatever it takes, even if it's missing a week at camp, to grow with Jesus. Here's another story. This happened 2 days ago. This is Thursday night. I met online on Zoom with a guy named Aman. He is way smarter than the majority of us here today. In fact, he is a software engineer for NASA. So what are those called? Simulators, thank you. All the simulators, he develops the software to make those happen. And he talked to me probably 6 weeks ago. He met me at the back of the church. He'd worshiped here with all of us. And he said, "Hey, Pastor Matt, I wanna know more about God. And I hope you can help me with that. And I also wanna know more about the Seventh-day Adventist Church." And I said, "Come on, dude, we got this." It took us about 6 weeks, 5.5 weeks to finally schedule it. So we met on Zoom on Thursday night, and we start talking, and I said, "Hey man, tell me your journey here. How did you get to here right now?" And he said, "Well, I grew up Hindu." He said, "That's the worldview. That's the lens I have viewed the world my whole life through, a Hindu point of view." And he said, "But I met my wife, and she's a Seventh-day Adventist Christian." And he said, "So for the last 6 years of our marriage, I've been worshiping in a Christian Seventh-day Adventist church in Oregon and in California and now in Florida." And he said, "I'm to the point where I don't want to just be an outsider viewing her relationship with Jesus. I want to have that too." Are you seeing the intentionality here? It's cool to watch the Holy Spirit move in people, man. It's just so rich. And so we meet on Zoom, and so we start at the very beginning, the basic building block of understanding God. We start with a lesson on the Bible, which seems so simplistic to somebody that works for NASA. Yet he and I spent time talking about archaeology and how you can prove the Bible and you can trust the Bible, and it's something that will grow you forever. And at the end of the study, he said, "Pastor Matt, this was great. Let's do this again. I want to do this more." He's intentionally growing with Jesus because he understands that the way to get the fullest life you can ever have is being intentional with Jesus. The last story is my story. And it feels a little weird to talk about your own pastor's spirituality, but I think it's valuable. But I'll tell you this, even though I get paid to pray, I mean, I want a shirt that says I get paid to pray, you know? I still have the same journey that you have too. It's just a human and a God working together to grow. And my journey with him is the same as yours. It's up and it's down. It's rich and it's dry. It's all the same as you. I have to be intentional just like you do too. My whole life, I've tried to be intentional with growing with Jesus. For years, I have endeavored to read the Bible cover to cover. In fact, I've never actually in 1 year read the Bible cover to cover. You get to January and you're like, "Well, I'm not starting over. I got several books left I gotta read," and you just keep going. But if you're gonna fail at something, fail at trying to read the Bible and keep going. Does that make sense? Don't just say, "I can't do it," and don't. But what I found is that one of my favorite ways to grow with Jesus is journaling. Now, I use the word journaling because I think the word diary is a little too girly for me. Same thing. You don't go write in your diary, you write in your journal. It's way more manly. But here's what I found. I don't like to write handwriting because my handwriting is messy and my mind thinks faster than my hand can write, and so it gets frustrating. And so finally I said, I'm gonna write it out digitally. And so for me, I use the Evernote app on my computer. It's a free app, it's just a note-taking app, but it's cool because you can organize it and you can have dates and you can whatever, and you can add pictures. So oftentimes, whatever passage I'm reading, there's a verse or something that stands out, and so I'll make a meme of it or I'll find it online and I'll dump that picture right in the journal. Or sometimes, I can remember several of these times, if I'm in a beautiful setting, sometimes I'll take a picture of it and I'll tuck it into the notes, and it's my way of growing with Jesus because I can say, "What is God trying to tell me today through his word?" And I jot it down. It's great because you can look back and you can see how you've grown. Nobody will read it, just me. You know, wherever you are in your journey with Jesus, the good shepherd, he calls you with his voice. It's a voice that you know. And he says, "I've come to give you life and to live it to the full. Live it with me and I'll make you so much better." May each of us grow to know him and live it well. Let me pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, I'm challenged today to keep growing with you. Oh, may you draw close to us. May we hear your voice whispering in our ears, and may we respond to that. I pray for each church member, each visitor, each family, each person here today. May your presence be so close to them as they grow with you. God, we love you, and we can't wait to see you. In Jesus' name, amen.